Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.
Oh, hello. Is it my turn? Hi,
it's your
everyone.
Turn.
I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily Edition, where sometimes I'm at the bottom of the page and I need to be at the top. Not a metaphor, but still kind of useful
but
as
really,
one.
Really applicable, actually. That,
right?
That totally
yeah.
works.
Accidental metaphor.
That's right. It's Wednesday of the What Do You Want to Know variety. A couple of listener questions make you and us maybe a bit smarter by the end of things. Let us plow right ahead, shall we, Ms. Wood?
Let's do this. First up, we have an email from Simon in Montana. Go Grizz. I hope that's the part.
Wow.
Simon writes, with the airlines fighting for and receiving bailouts during the pandemic, how much assistance are buses and mass transit systems getting? Without these services, many people will not be able to access jobs and healthcare. Especially in these vulnerable times, the consequences for city transit seem greater for the common people that they serve every day than luxuries that airlines serve for folks of higher economic status.
Yeah, totally. And not only that, it's people who need mass transit to get to work, right? Because those are the people we're talking mm-hmm. about, the people who are the essential workers who are doing the stuff that office workers who can stay home aren't doing. So the short answer is they're getting some money. They're getting like $25 billion. They got it back in April as part of the CARES Act. But the bigger problem, well, there are two problems. Number one is there ain't no more money coming for this economy till definitely after the election, maybe not till January or February, right? You all have read the headlines in the news yep. and you know about those negotiations. But the other part is that ridership, except for the essential workers who are disproportionately low income, people of color, all of those things that we've talked about, except for those people, public transit ridership in places like New York City has cratered, like it's down like 90-something percent. And so revenues are down and service cuts and all of that jazz. And it's sort of an ever-increasing, decreasing spiral of going out of businessness, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Now, one distinction we should probably make here though, between airlines and mass transit is that mass transit is, in most places, I think all places, at least partly taxpayer funded. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the airlines where they may get some subsidies and there's some federal infrastructure involved, I guess, but they're not. Or do they get any subsidies, airlines, now that they're all deregulated?
Well, no, that's free
right.
competition.
So they get none. Right. They're just plain old businesses because right. they've been deregulated and they're right. in competition. Mass transit does get some taxpayer money. And so there is still some income coming in, however, as state and local tax revenues themselves decline and ridership declines, they just have a lot less money overall.
Right, right. And my favorite statistic out of marketplace news items this week is that prices for used cars are up the most in 51 years because people don't want to ride mass transit. Right. So used car inflation is up like 7% month on month. It's crazy. Anyway. OK, let us move on. I have not myself watched Social Dilemma on Netflix. I don't know what that is. Oof. So I'm not taking this question. But here's a piece of tape. Go.
Hey, guys. Sean from Newton.
Sean.
I feel trapped into using Facebook because I am a parent and there's a lot of community and parent related information that sometimes is actually pretty crucial. However, I'm really frustrated because Facebook seems to be the root of a lot of evil, and I want to stop using it. What are your thoughts? How do we break the Facebook necessity that exists within our lives like this? Yeah. Thanks for making us smart, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, it's tough, right?
It really is. It's also so meta. Like, yes, see also Amazon, single-use plastics. The list goes on and on.
What is the social dilemma?
So it's interesting. It's like it's a documentary on Netflix, and it is a documentary is kind of strong. It's like an activist documentary movie, and it's basically about Facebook being evil. And so they talk to a lot of the people that we've talked to. It's also like interwoven with some actors and skits. So got a little bit of a like after school special vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's like interviews and real information and then these kind of awkward interludes with actors. A lot of people have had a lot of feelings about this movie, and I won't get too derailed, mainly because it was like, oh, a whole bunch of you made a ton of money designing, apps and Facebook and the like button and Pinterest and all these super addictive systems. And now you are coming here from, down from your bed of money to be like, boy, we wish we hadn't done that,
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of white guys and
yeah, of course.
Nevertheless, of course. It makes its point. And I think that there is a really good point to be made that Facebook is a tool, and everything that like small businesses are on Facebook, school groups are on Facebook. I don't use Facebook anymore. I can tell you it can be done.
Yep.
I'm definitely out of the loop.
Yeah, well,
like
no.
Without a doubt, Sean.
Yeah, same here. I disconnected from Facebook. Let me just say parenthetically, I'm still on Instagram. So, yes, I'm still inside the web, but I don't go on Facebook at all. Haven't for years, mostly because I don't feel the need like I have to because my kids are older. And look, they've got Facebook groups for school and my wife's on the local Facebook and all of this stuff. But I just don't have the time or the energy or the desire to engage. And
I like that. You've outsourced it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's still telling you the information that's on Facebook.
It's really funny. Every now and then, I'm like, what are they saying on Facebook about XYZ social issue in town? And I'm like, never mind.
I'm torn, right? Because there is local news. There's information about schools. There's information. I know that there is information that I'm not getting because I don't have a spouse to outsource my Facebook to.
Fair enough.
Sometimes people will text me and say, like, I know you don't do Facebook, so here's the thing that's happening. It's really difficult. But look, don't beat yourself up if you go to Facebook and use groups. Like, it is still our job as consumers to attempt to change, like, this company in whatever way we can. If it's a necessity in your life, if it's a useful tool, if it keeps, keeps you up to date with people that you can't see right now because you can't fly to see them because it's a freaking pandemic, like, we have enough to feel guilty about in the world, Sean. It's okay. But just, like, turn it off at night.
Well, that's what I was going to suggest, right? A slow and gradual weaning, Don't do it every day, do it every other day or, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because it totally can be done. Question is, how much are you going to work at doing it, I guess. Yeah, anyway.
Right. And who's going to keep you up to date about the things that are happening on Facebook?
Right.
You still do need some version of that sometimes. Right. All right. And then finally, this next question, unless we sneak in another one, which we might, comes from Grace in Massachusetts, who attended the BlackBaud virtual conference last week. She said it went really well, but she writes, I'm missing the swag. What made, and then she said that made me think about like all the free stuff. She said that made me think about all the companies that make items for companies to give out at conferences and what is happening to them. That's such a good marketplace story.
It's a great marketplace story. We should totally do that because you can totally buy that companies that produce swag and offer swag and make up those bags and all that stuff just got clobbered in March and April and May. Apparently, they are coming back, right? There is a company called swag.com. Jeremy Parker is the CEO. Thank you, producers, for putting this in the rundown. September was the strongest in the company's five-year history. I think the phrase you're looking for there is pent-up demand. They're actually shipping swag bags to people who do virtual conferences, which, you know, I guess.
That's so smart, though.
Yeah.
Because that is, like, that's just a fun part. I mean, it also doesn't need to happen. Talk about, like... Talk about necessities that aren't necessary. Like, oh, did you use a bunch of carbon to ship me a t-shirt that I don't want?
But
conference swag is fun and it's kind of cool. That's a clever way around the kind of virtual conference restrictions, which I assume are going to continue forever.
Yeah, that whole virtual conference it's so lame. It's so empty, virtual conferences. I just don't enjoy that.
I know. And they don't, you know, virtual conferences, I attended one, and even though it was super fascinating content, I still felt like literally like putting AI in nuclear weapons, right? Like geopolitical upheaval and cybersecurity. And I was like looking around and looking at my phone. Then I like wandered away. I had so much empathy for my child trying to do online school.
Yep. Totally.
In that moment, I was like, this doesn't work. It's funny. One of our producers has highlighted the fact that miniature hand sanitizer bottles are a big item that's being shipped now to virtual conference goers. When this thing first started and nobody could get hand sanitizer, I was like, oh, I'm good. I've got like 30 of those from conferences.
Oh, that's so funny.
I just had 30 mini bottles of Purell that I just had
scooped up
like,
funny.
In the bottom of backpacks and purses and stuff.
Oh my God.
So thank you, conferences.
There you go. All right. You want to get one more in here or do you want to talk about
it?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Why not? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Sally from Texas wrote in and said, please explain how low, please explain t-shirts, speaking of swag, please explain how low interest rates work. Why do my savings earn so little?
Oh, because Jay Powell said so. Next question.
I know.
Right?
He's never going to say so.
I know. So here's the deal, right? The Federal Reserve, generally speaking, controls interest rates in this country. They do that by their control over something called the federal funds rate, which is a really super short-term interest rate that big banks use. That, however, trickles out to the rest of the economy. So your savings account or your certificate of deposit or all of those things is earning like in the single-digit decimal points of interest. One of my kids' bank accounts, I saw it the other day, 0.7% interest, right?
Yeah.
So, right, which is useless. The theory being that low interest rates, if you think of interest rates as the cost of borrowing money, right? It's literally the cost of money. If you think of low interest rates that way, what Jay Powell is trying to do is to make people feel okay about borrowing money and spending it, right? If money is free, why not spend it on something? If you're a business or a bank, you can get a better return than just sticking it in the bank. If you're a consumer, you can do whatever you want to do with that money. It's basically costing you nothing or relatively nothing. If you're the federal government, oh, by the way, you can borrow for 30 years at like 1%, which is bananas. So there's a lot of economic incentives on Powell's part to keep the interest rates low. The catch, of course, is that for savers, like, oh, by the way, my mom, with whom I had this conversation the other day, she's getting jack all on her certificates of deposit, right? And her Social Security payments, this was on Marketplace the other day, going up 1.3% next year, $20 on average per month for the average Social Security beneficiary. So there are real benefits to low interest rates. In the macroeconomy, there are real costs for individual people. Okay. And that's just the way it's going to be for a long time. The Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, told me when she was chair, she looked at me and I said, Why is inflation so low? Which is another way of saying, why are you keeping interest rates so low? And she looked at me and said, I don't know. There's just no inflation, so we don't have to raise rates. That's in a nutshell. And as long as this economy is shaky, Powell has said in almost as many words, we're going to keep interest rates as low as we have to for as long as we have to keep the economy going. So that's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is a bummer, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
it
for
is
sure.
A bummer.
For sure.
For the saving.
Absolutely,
yeah.
For sure.
Yes. I mean, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
that one specific use case, and yep. which is a use case that a lot of people should be doing. I was thinking, though, somebody, a friend of mine is looking at a, because like trend
yeah.
moment, everybody's trying to buy RVs and trailers
oh,
in
I know.
Addition to personal vehicles.
Yeah.
Yep. So a friend of mine is shopping for a tow vehicle and was saying that they are offering, he's looking at like the Jeep Grand Cherokee, and they're offering, they're back to the thing like 0%. Interest-free
yeah.
loans that are
yeah,
72
yeah.
months. 72
yeah, it's
months.
It's
and so
insane.
He's like, why would I ever buy a used car? Like, it's way cheaper to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was having this whole negotiation. They're like, do you want to put any money down? He was like, no.
No. I'm just going to borrow it all. Money is free.
He's like, don't you want your payment to be lower? The guy, and you know, and then my friend's like, no. Why would I?
I'm like, okay, it's, yeah. thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. I'd rather just have the free money yeah. for 5 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bonkers.
Exactly.
Bonkers.
All right. And there you go. We have filled another 15 minutes of your life.
We have.
And that's where we are. I think we're done.
Yeah. That's it for What Do You
okay.
Want to Know Wednesday.
Okay.
If you would like to know more things, such
yes.
as stories about leaf peeping.
I'm sorry, leaf wetting?
Peeping. Leaf peeping.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what leaf peeping
is? What is leaf peeping? Why would I know what leaf peeping is? How
oh
why
my God.
Is that even a word, leaf peeping?
Yes. It's okay. a whole it's not just a word, it's an economy. There's a leaf peeping economy.
Okay.
It's the thing where people literally travel to a place to look at the fall
oh,
leaves.
Oh, peeping as in
and they actually
at.
Do
okay.
call it leaf peeping.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I just I was like sure that you knew about that.
Had not not a clue.
I was lucky enough to record an explainer this very week on leaf peeping and why it's so important to the economy, which you can find if
Boom.
You say, make me smart on your smart device.
I'm going to have to go down and listen to that.
When's
it running? Do we know when it's running? Somebody hit me up in Slack real quick before we go and let me know when it's running.
Today.
Is it today?
Today.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
There's Erica Phillips. Today, you moron. Today. All right. We're done. That's it for Wednesday. What do you want to know Wednesday? Tomorrow is a hollowed out shell of a Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow. News, a little make me smile, and we will be on about our merry way. It is also, I am told by people who count these things, the 300th episode of this podcast, which is
yes!
a lot.
What?
It's a lot.
We're so legit.
It's a lot.
Can we have drinks for that one?
No.
Just doing what
theme.
I want. I don't know
I
who I'm even asking.
Can we have drinks?
Make Me Smart is not kind of weak, man. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. And Erica Phillips writes the newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill that you hear on your smart device.
Charlton Thorpe
Leaf
is through
peeping.
The looking glass here on the other side of the studio where I am engineering this program. Our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez. Donna Tam is a senior producer. Anybody know Bridget's had her baby yet, by the way? Anybody? No? Okay. Executive Director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. She has not, Sitar says. Okay. All right. Okay.
We would know.
We would know.
Because we'd just be like wallowing in baby pictures and not even showing up for work.
Second kid, not as many pictures. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Sorry, all you second kids out there.
Sorry, second kid.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.